Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now, Craig, we do have the Fed statement behind us, and it was actually kind of a lack of volatility on the back of that taper announcement, probably because the Fed was telling us they were going to taper for months now, and I guess you can make the argument that that was already priced in. We like to focus on the precious metals. So if you look at what was going on with the precious metals heading into that meeting, they were trending lower. Today, we're seeing a bounce back in gold. However, not really in the shares. But you can argue that yesterday the shares did better as gold was moving lower. Look, the fact of the matter is gold still isn't going anywhere, and it seems to be consolidating a little bit more under 1800 right now, although we're really only a few dollars away from that level. Fact of the matter is it doesn't seem to matter if the Fed is tapering, if the Fed is standing pat on their programs. Gold is being largely ignored, and the gold stocks are being ignored, even in the face of higher inflation data that is sticking around. None of that seems to matter because, well, maybe people are just making money in other sectors and they don't care about the gold sector right now. Craig, what do you think matters for investors, and why are investors broadly ignoring the precious metals sector?
Well, you did kind of hit it there, Corey, in that I think that people are just making money in other sectors, first and foremost, institutional money. The shares are interesting because they've rallied, and they've kind of rallied in a backward fashion, in that the GDXJ was kind of leading everything else lower, making lower lows, broke down further than the GDX or gold and silver themselves in the past several months. Now the GDXJ has been getting better. And I spoke with a guy yesterday by the name of Chris Vermeulen, who runs a technical trading site. And he was pointing out that everyone's all excited about the stock market and, the S&P making new highs, but that's mainly, just 10 or 12 stocks that everybody's playing for momentum. The broader Russell 2000 and all the sectors within it have mainly been going sideways. You could consider the mining sector, as a sector within the Russell 2000 and going sideways and down as metal prices have risen, have gone down this year. But the Russell had started to pick up, particularly yesterday after the FOMC had rallied. And so there's a link there, kind of an algo link, where, you get this rotation into more, broadly diverse growth. I'm starting to sound like, somebody on CNBC. But that kind of floating the mining sector higher with all of these other small cap sectors that hadn't done much this year. And now here today, the small cap sector in the Russell 2000 is back down, and then the shares are down. So there's something to that. If we can get kind of a year-end rally rotation into, a more diverse set of sectors and equities, maybe the shares will finally start, getting their footing. And then on top of that, Corey, maybe the metals can kind of help out as well, because they got to have a higher gold and silver price to kind of spur them along. In the past month about, this is a tough time for the major miners because their input costs are going up while what they can sell their product at has been going down, which is a real squeeze on their margins. And you've seen that in the earnings reports of some of the majors. But, the juniors and the explorers and the, some of those smaller names, they're not so reliant upon that. So you can kind of make a case for, the GDXJ outperforming the GDX just on that regard, too. So a lot going on as we go into the end of the year. We should probably talk a little bit about some of the other macro factors, as you mentioned. The bond market, very interesting action in interest rates today. And then, how that all impacts where the metals prices might go, what we can kind of pick off if we begin to rally here in the last, 50 days of the year.
Well, Craig, you set the table nicely there. And there are a lot of factors that are really up in the air that we don't know. We don't know how long the Fed will be able to taper before they may hit a speed bump. We don't know if they'll actually start hiking next year. We don't know what interest rates will do. There's a little movement today, but sometimes these short-term blips, they're up and down, and we haven't seen a really sustained trend either way. We're also watching the dollar to see what happens there. Do you think the jobs report that's coming up tomorrow could be a big driver here, or will it be a nothing burger? Because the last few, we've seen some big moves, but then they were quickly reversed, almost as if nothing had happened a few days later. So what do you think about tomorrow's news in that front?
Yeah, I'm going to watch closely tomorrow. Maybe not so much the absolute number of what they, you know, proclaim to be new jobs, because so much of that is statistical adjustments and the birth death model, you know, and seasonal adjustments and stuff like that. But the average hourly earnings component, I think, will be intriguing, because even Powell said yesterday, and you think about how just awful this is. I mean, this is central bank, awful central bank, you know, what this, how nefarious this is, how the system works. Powell said yesterday that he'd only get concerned about inflation if wage growth began to exceed inflation. And think about that. He's saying, you know, he'd only get concerned about inflation if all of a sudden regular middle and lower income people, even upper income people, start actually see their standard of living improve because your wages are growing faster than inflation. That would concern him. I mean, think about that for a second. So this is something, though, it's on his radar. So we're going to watch. I'm going to watch to see what the average hourly earnings component is, because it's been exceeding expectations as of late. And again, more earnings, more wages, more take-home pay for the average person. At the end of the day, in macroeconomics, means, you know, you've got more dollars out there chasing a finite, or even, you know, with the supply chain stuff, reducing supply of goods. That's inflationary. And Powell has said, again, there, even when he was pinned yesterday, Shad, the very first question came from the Wall Street Journal guy, and was short, just said, okay, hey, what are you looking for to raise rates in 2022? And Powell shuffled his papers and looked down at the dais and stumbled and harumphed for about 10 seconds and then found what he wanted to say and basically read it verbatim from his notes. And so when people were talking yesterday and using this beautiful new oxymoron called dovish taper, that was a new one yesterday. But there was something to that. Because he would not pin himself down to a rate hike anytime soon. He actually even said, you know, we're going to start on this plan, but as things change, we can amend this and, you know, stop or pump it back up. And so the most compelling thing then, getting all the way back to your question about tomorrow, will be to watch what the bond market does, because there has been, you know, we had the news out of the Bank of England today that they weren't going to raise their key benchmark rate, which took everybody by surprise. There's been this huge rally in global bond markets today, even here in the U.S. Like, as we record this, you know, a little after 2 Eastern time, the 2-year note is down 6.5 basis points here in the U.S. Now, if it was falling from 6%, that wouldn't be very much. But, you know, last night it was 47 basis points. So moving 6.3 basis points is what? 15% move today? You know, the 10-year note, again, and this is against the backdrop of the Fed is allegedly going to be tapering and removing that bid. The 10-year note is down 6 basis points to 152, and it's the lowest yield that it's been at in 3 weeks. So if that bond market rally continues again tomorrow, after the jobs report, regardless of what the, you know, the shenanigans are in the first couple of minutes, the bond market rally continues tomorrow. No, God forbid the dollar actually falls back. We'll get an extension of what you're seeing today in the metals. And, you know, we're already a little bit above the 200-day moving average again in COMEX gold, the front month December contract. And that's a level that's been defended pretty hard by the banks over the last 10 days. If we can extend through there tomorrow, get above those intra-week highs of last week and close tomorrow with another $15 or $20 gain, charts are going to start to look pretty interesting. A lot of people will have all weekend to think about it.
Craig, the fact of the matter is, look, the sector has been under pressure, right? And we have seen data point after data point showing that inflation's sticking around and that we are continuing to be in negative real interest rates. But that hasn't seemed to matter for the market. It really does seem like we need some market weakness, or we just need that whole concept of a loss in faith in the Fed or in government. But that's a big ask in my eyes. I realize these short-term data points can drive the market in a short-term sense, but it's part of a bigger picture here. And are the gold bugs just not admitting, at least right now, that the economies are still going through this kind of restart post-COVID, even though COVID's still around, and maybe there still are some good times ahead of us, and the sector just might be under pressure for longer. What a lot of technicians are saying is into 2022, mid to late 2022.
Sure. Okay. No, but I mean, seriously, look, I'm going to stick with what I've been running with, I guess, for most of the year, because again, I mean, when we talked back in January, when I wrote my annual forecast, it was for sharply negative real interest rates, you know, and inflation picking up and heading into kind of a stagflationary environment, which is all has all happened. But yet, what are we down $100 year to date in gold? And I, you know, besides all the other stuff that we always fight in gold, you know, I got to think about who are the buyers of gold in all its forms, but most particular the futures, because it's the futures that kind of wag the spot price. So you got to have hedge funds and institutions and the like wanting to be long COMEX gold. And they just haven't been. The size of the positions of managed money or the, you know, larger, you know, in the legacy report, the large specs, it just hasn't been growing. And I think at the end of the day, it's because these institutions have such, you know, they're so run now by people that believe and key off of every single word the Fed says, or, you know, whether it's Powell or some other, you know, just regional goon, that they take it like his Bible. And so when Powell's out there, every single time you see him for the last 6 months saying, oh, yeah, look at the inflation. It began to pick up in April. Ah, but it's transitory. Don't worry about it. It's transitory. Even Mother Yellen uses these same words now. I think the market, if you want to use that kind of all-encompassing term for these hedge funds and institutions and the like, I think they believe them. You know, they look at the real interest rates and go, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, the negative, you know, right now, as we speak, the right at this moment, the real yield inflation-adjusted return on a 10-year note bought today is negative 4%. But I think the idea that's been swallowed, hook, line, and sinker, is that, yeah, but it's not going to stay this way. The Fed's going to be raising rates. Inflation's going to come back down. And those real rates are going to trend back up to zero and even go positive over the next year. So I can eat minus 4% the first year and make it up on the back end and have a positive real return eventually. But what if? What if? And I think this is a little bit of what you got revealed yesterday and is following through today. What if it's not transitory? As Powell said, well, you know, we're going to let this run. I'm not worried about it yet. I don't, you know, I still think it's supply chain disruptions and blah, 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 blah. So what if it's not transitory? And what if all of a sudden, hey, wait a second, these real yields are going to stay negative, maybe not negative four, but negative three, -2. What if, you know what, these central banks, they really need to have negative real yields if they're going to try to inflate away this $30 trillion of debt. All of a sudden, that changes the sentiment. Outside of all the other stuff, the charts, you know, everything else, the sentiment finally changes. And instead of making lower highs, you start making higher highs. You get above 1836 and people go, whoa, wait a second, we made a higher high. Then all of a sudden you're above 1880 and you start climbing forward toward 1920. Then a thing feeds on itself. And you get this realization that it's not transitory and that gold should have been going up all along, that reveals itself rather quickly. So maybe that's beginning. Maybe we're still a couple months away from that, but I'm just not, given what we've seen, I'm not a deflationist. I don't think the dollar index is going to 105, and I don't think gold's going back to 1500. Maybe I'll be wrong, but that's what I'm sticking with. I think I'm going to be correct and proven correct in the end.
Yeah, Craig, it's going to be interesting to see how it actually plays out and if there is that loss of faith. And we had talked off mic about this, and this is my final question for you. You know, it seems like as long as there's that confidence, and like you said, that the market in a loose term has swallowed the messaging from the Fed and from each other, they're all parroting the same thing. So I turned on the internet today only to find out there was an article that says, why should I go back to work when I can become a millionaire trading Shiba Inu coins? When we look at the meme stocks, we saw a crazy several multifold move up hundreds of percent in the Avis rental car company this week, along with a GameStop, the meme stock getting traction again, AMC getting traction, Bed Bath & Beyond coming back from the grave and having a rally out of nowhere. So there's cryptocurrencies that are raging. People are making money in Tesla stock. It's now valued more than the other 14 car companies. It's good times in the market. People are making money almost everywhere except the precious metals. So do you think it's ultimately going to take that loss of faith you were talking about to get any of these other general markets rattled a little bit and shake the tree enough to get them to see gold as a safe haven? What do you think it's going to take? Will it take that to get that sentiment change you're discussing?
That, I think, Shad, that would be the type of thing that would catapult it forward from an uptrend that was already going on. Because, again, I think there's an awakening that could, even still this year, get us back to even on the year. I mean, we open up 1905 or something like that back on January the 2nd. But I think there's, you know, awakening of, I don't want to say revaluation, but changing. There's kind of a misprice, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, a market inefficiency that gold is down on the year given all these other factors. And I think that market efficiency could still get resolved even before the end of the year, at least get back to, like I said, back to where we began the year. You get this rotation and get all of that cash. I mean, think of the, I mean, my God, it's $1.3 trillion freaking dollars that's tied up every night in the reverse repo facility. You could buy, what, how many GDXs could you buy for $1.3 trillion, you know? So if you get some of that rotation, which will happen eventually, that's when you get this kind of real slingshot move forward. I think that's a secondary move. I think the first thing that happens is just this kind of awakening to the market inefficiency that's developed because of this misplaced perception that inflation is transitory.
All right, Craig, we're going to leave it there. And yeah, inflation is sticking around a lot longer than the central banks, I know, thought it would, but they don't seem to be reacting, at least right now, to it. We'll see where inflation goes from here, but sticking around 5% in the U.S. is generally higher than that 2 to 2.5% target that the Fed has. We'll see what next week brings, but boy, oh boy, I think that a lot of precious metals investors just want to get out of this year and hope that 2022, we do see that change in direction. Craig, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.